Gentlemen moderators, Mr. Ramsey, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Ramsey has failed to deal with my affirmative arguments that I presented last evening and also again this evening. He didn't have time to deal with them, but he had time to talk about other things that were not pertinent to the issue at hand. I believe all of us who are honest can see that he has not faced up to the issue, that my proposition stands, as I've affirmed these two evenings, that the New Testament of Jesus Christ is the complete standard of authority in religious matters today. That's why that James refers to it as a perfect law of liberty in James 1:25, and in chapter 2 and verse 12 he says, "So speak ye and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty." I'd like to point out one thing here in this closing speech that proves further that Joseph Smith was a false prophet. Joseph Smith prophesied or spoke and said this was so, that there were inhabitants on the moon. And here's a direct quotation, and it's made by and found in the Journal of Oliver B. Huntington, Volume 3, page 166, a copy being at the Utah State Historical Society. And O.B. Huntington was a Mormon, and he wrote the article. He says, "The inhabitants of the moon," he says, "as far back as 1837, I know that he," talking about Joseph Smith, "said the moon was inhabited by men and women the same as this earth, and that they lived a better age than we do, that they lived generally to near the age of 1,000 years. He kind of stretches things there. "He described the men as averaging near 6 feet in height and dressing quite uniformly in something near the Quaker style. In my patriarchal blessing given by the father of Joseph, the prophet, in Kirkland, 1837, I was told that I should preach the gospel before I was 21 years of age, that I should preach the gospel to the inhabitants upon the islands of the sea and to the inhabitants of the moon, even the planets you can now behold with your eyes. The first two promises have been fulfilled and the latter may be verified. From the verification of two promises, we may reasonably expect the third to be fulfilled also." Now, it doesn't take the Bible to prove he was a false prophet. The astronauts proved that. My job was real easy if I didn't even have a Bible to prove he was a false prophet. Just listen to what the astronauts said when they came back from the moon. Nobody that. Now, isn't that something? And then also, I mentioned the fact that Mr. Ramsey had said last evening that you didn't have your English Bible till 1611 years after Christ. And that he said, "What about the 1611 years after Christ before there was an English Bible?" He said he didn't say that. And Mr. Ramsey, you did do it. You did say that. Now, I've got this from the tape today. All right, now here's what we're going to do. Now, if he doesn't apologize like he said he would last night, he said last night he'd apologize if he's wrong. We've listened to the tape. If he doesn't apologize in his next speech, just as soon as the session's over, we're going to back up the tape, we're going to play it, that everybody wants to hear him say that these words. And I'll tell you another thing that you maybe hadn't thought about, too. You didn't have your English Bible till 1611 years after Christ. Now, what are you going to do about that? What about that 1611 years after Christ before there was an English Bible? That's exactly what you said. That's what he meant, that's what he said, but he said he didn't say it. Do you know, Mr. Ramsey, that Cloverdale's Bible was an English Bible?
I don't care if it was. It wasn't translated into English. I wasn't arguing that point
Listen,
anybody else.
Let me say this.
It's the English Bible. It's the King James Version.
Last night when I came up and said that he said we didn't have an English Bible in 1611 years after Christ, he came back and said that I had deliberately, willfully, and maliciously misrepresented him. He said he had not said it. He did say it. The tape shows it. And if he doesn't apologize for saying it, we'll play it back soon as the session's over. And then also, he had quite a bit to say about those books, you know, that he claimed were missing. And he said, "What about the book over in Exodus 24 and verse 7? Talking about the book of the covenant." Well, now, Mr. Ramsey, Moses wrote the words of the Lord and read it to the people, and we have the words of the Lord as written by Moses in the Bible, so that does not show a lost book. Then in Numbers 21 and verse 14, he said, when he mentioned the book of the words of the Lord, he says, "Where is that book?" Well, now, what prophet or apostle wrote that book? You think that was an inspired man? Tell us who wrote it. Now, if it was an inspired book, it could have been in Exodus, because Exodus tells us about some more and some things that happened just like the text says. And it had been written prior to this. Well, it could have been that, Mr. Ramsey. Then in Joshua, it could have been. We don't say it's lost then. And then we notice in Joshua 10 and verse 13, he said, "Where's the book of Joshua?" Now, last evening, he said that Jasher was a prophet. It's on the tape. He did say it. Tonight he says, I don't know whether he was or not. All right, Mr. Ramsey, you just don't tell the truth every time. Do you just forget? Are you that forgetful? Now, you may be, and you might not can help it, but if you forget, just don't say anything. You'd be better off. You wouldn't mislead anybody. Now, you said that Jasher was a prophet. Well, now, the Bible doesn't say he's a prophet. Now, that's on the tape. You said it last night. We heard it today. Then 1 Samuel 10 and verse 25 mentions a book, something being written. Well, that doesn't mean that it was an inspired book necessarily. It's called a book. There's a lot of books. And then 1 Kings 11:41 mentions the book of the Acts of Solomon. Well, now, first, prove that was an inspired book he's talking about. And then second, if it was, prove it had something in it that the rest of the Bible doesn't have in it that we need. Then you have a point. Otherwise, you have no point. The same thing is true about 1 Chronicles 9:29 that mentions the book of Nathan. The same thing is true about 1 Chronicles 29:29 that mentions the book of Gad. 2 Chronicles 20:34 that mentions the book of Jehu. Now, you just prove first that these were inspired books, and then prove that they had something in them that's not in the Bible, and you'll have a point. Otherwise, he has no point. And then 1 Corinthians 5, Paul said, I wrote to you in an epistle I'd come with fornicators. And he said, now, what happened to that epistle? Well, I don't know. There's a different epistle. Paul said, I wrote it and read that where he did write it. That doesn't prove another epistle, Mr. Ramsey. Then Ephesians 3, Paul said, I wrote according to you words. And he says, where is that book? Well, if you turn back to the first part of that book, Ephesians 1, you'll see that he did write what he said he'd written in a few words. That doesn't show another book. And Colossians 4:16 says, when this epistle is read among you, cause to be read also in the church of Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And he said, where is the book of the Laodicea, or to Laodicea? Well, now, this doesn't say anything about a book of Laodicea. Paul says you read the book from Laodicea. Didn't say he'd written one over there to them. He says you read the one from Laodicea. Now, there's a big difference in to and from. It was an epistle from Laodicea, not one to Laodicea. Now, could it have been an epistle that Paul may have written while he was in Laodicea that has been circulated? Well, of course it could. He doesn't prove another book. In fact, many scholars think that 1 Timothy was written from Laodicea by Paul, and that may have been what he was talking about. Other scholars say that it may have been the book of Ephesians, that Paul may have written, and then it was circulated, and maybe coming by way of Laodicea. This doesn't prove another book. And then we notice the same thing about the book of Jude. He says, I gave all this to write unto you. Mr. Ramsey says, where is the book of Jude? Well, it's in your Bible. That's where it is. Paul says, I gave past tense diligence to write. He didn't say, I wrote back under to you. I gave diligence to write, so he's writing now. And that's how he mutilated the Word of God. We weren't afraid of Mr. Ramsey. We just didn't have time to get to it. And then Mr. Ramsey gave a threat last evening. He said, quote, if this thing is false, if Mormonism is false, if the Book of Mormon is not the Word of God, if Smith was a lie, a false prophet, a murderer, then Mr. Sutton will continue to prosper in his work. But if Mormonism is true, the Book of Mormon is the Word of God. He's not fighting against Joe Smith and the Mormons. He's fighting against God. And all you have to do is just stop and look into the history of those that's done that. Well, I tell you what, this is not new to me. I've had Pentecostal preachers to pronounce curses upon me. And one did up in Illinois a few years ago, and she died within 3 months. Actually, she did so, Mr. Ramsey. I had a Church of God preacher say something bad happened to me, but it hasn't. And Joseph Smith prophesied back in 1843 that unless the United States redressed the wrongs committed upon the saints of the state of Missouri and punished the crimes committed by her officers, that in a few years the government would be overthrown and wasted, and there would not be so much as a potsherd left. And then Smith went on to say at another time that there won't even be a breeze spot left of the government. The government did not do what Smith said, and is still standing, and Smith's gone. So these curses don't bother us in the least, because we're standing on God's book. We urge you to turn from Mormonism to the gospel of Jesus Christ, because one day, Mr. Ramsey, you'll face it in judgment. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. May God bless all.